cultivating inspiration. Ecstasy is delivered in a moment of inspiration. The root word of inspire means to breathe in, which implies that inspiration should be as natural as breathing. The following exercises show you how to summon inspiration and make it your own long before you reach the end of the path. Think of an inspired moment in your life, when you said the perfect thing, had the perfect idea. What made you different in that moment? You were open to something new. You weren't reliving the past or anticipating the future. You felt optimistic and open. You felt connected. Now ask yourself if you feel that way now. If you did, you would be in the moment. The same preconditions take everyone into the moment. A genius like William Blake may see infinity in a grain of sand. Try the following meditation. Hold a grain of sand in your hand, imaginary in case none is handy. Let your eye rest upon it. Notice its color and facets, any hint of glitter. Now think of your grain of sand as a point surrounded by space. How much space can you imagine? The room you are sitting in, your neighborhood, your town, the planet, galaxy, and blackness beyond. Allow yourself to see that there is no edge to outer space, no boundary in time. Your grain of sand is the center of the universe. Now repeat the meditation using time instead of space. Imagine the day stretching before and the rest of the day stretching after. See time as an expanding circle and allow it to expand as fast as it wants. Your grain of sand is the center of time, expanding infinitely in all directions. If time and space are centered on one grain of sand, then you have seen infinity. Let your mind go blank and allow the sensation of time and space to race away from the center point. Sense the state of your mind. Is it open, watching, alert? Is it reliving the past or anticipating the future? Do you feel connected? Give it some time. This meditation opens the mind, easing your old ego boundaries. You are using this point of focus, the grain of sand, to slip out of the net of time and space. Beyond the net lies openness, eternity. When two people come together in love, they weave a fabric of consciousness. Each loving thought and action is a thread added to the fabric. In Sanskrit, the word for thread is sutra, which also has a metaphysical meaning. A sutra is an aphorism that expresses some fundamental truth about consciousness. You and your beloved have privileged moments in which you understand what your love is. Your inspirations are yours alone. You need to know how far you have come on the path together. Sutras can tell you this. The exercise here is to write down your inspirations as they come to you. These are threads from which the fabric of consciousness is woven. Get yourself a notebook in which you will put your sutras as well as record those of others that inspire you. Set aside some time when you feel receptive. The early morning works for most people. Let your mind relax. Have the intention to express what you know, a spark of truth from your higher self. The purpose of your sutras is to simply express where you are. You will have immense pleasure watching your spiritual vision grow. The following are some sutras I have written over the past year. I wrote them in spare moments, on airplanes, waiting for lost luggage, or sitting by the sea. If I could wish one thing for myself, it would be that I weave this fabric of consciousness forever. What is more thrilling than the prospect of truths you do not yet know? Lessons for lovers. Three things are absolute and cannot be destroyed: awareness, being, and love. Love is the impulse of evolution that expands life. If you block your desires, you block your natural avenue of growth. The mind judges what is good or bad. Love brings only good. Everything in the outer world contains a message about the inner world. If you create any open space within yourself, love will fill it. No one is wrong. In the eyes of love, all people are doing the best they can from their own levels of consciousness. The whole of reality is contained in the present moment. The inevitable question is why we want to expose our vulnerable, conflicted selves to someone else. Because we want to love. We take the risk, we walk out into the light and offer ourselves to a beloved. This feels wonderful, but when things get tough, we run back inside ourselves. We choose the familiarity of fear and lovelessness over the vulnerability of love until we feel safe enough to go back and try love again. That is essentially the rhythm of every intimate relationship, risk and retreat, until finally something miraculous happens. We look around and we are living in light. Love has silently been weaving our higher and lower natures, blending fear, anger, survival, and protection into the energies of devotion, trust, compassion, and acceptance. The tragedy is that our culture doesn't teach us to see love and marriage this way, so not enough people ever finish the path. If you really love someone else, there is no other way to grow. Knowing that the path is the search for love, you have to devote some time every day to this search. You must place your beloved above yourself in order to deserve a vision of her sacredness. You must tread lightly on the path, having patience with setbacks and harming no one who seems to block you. You must experience your shadow and learn from it in order to go beyond it. All of this is how we build a house of light. There is nothing more moving than a reminder that spirit is with us. The medieval poet Rumi was being quite literal when he said, "There is someone who looks after us from behind the curtain. In truth, we are not here. This is our shadow." The tragic illusion of everyday life is that we mistake shadow for reality. It is impossible to be outside the web woven of love. And at moments when events throw us too far into oblivion, a message comes to say, "You are loved." It still amazes me how often spirit sends clues about the real nature of life. Compassion, the closest value to love itself, is not to take pity, it is to extend care to others simply because you see their need. There is no question of anyone else having to deserve your compassion. If you have it to give, you will give it where it is needed. The path to love doesn't end with ascension. Ascension continues as long as you live. Through ascension, the ideals of trust, forgiveness, devotion, and compassion ripen into a golden harvest. And whatever aspect is revealed at a given moment, they ripen because they have to. I don't think compassion is very well understood. In the West, we have been misled by the word itself. The Latin roots of compassion mean to suffer with. Yet compassion does not have to entail suffering alongside someone else. To be in touch with God's love is the root of compassion. Trying to exercise compassion without this connection will only lead to failure. Compassion has to be founded on unconditional love, which is not attached to suffering of any kind. Even if you are presently in pain, you are not without love. Since God is compassionate, no one's experience of pain is a punishment. This is where compassion has most value. It allows me to step in and remind you that you are loved. By bringing compassion to you, I can reassure you that you are not abandoned. You are just at a difficult crossroads on the journey of love. At every stage of love, the goal should be kept in mind. Uniting romance, relationship, and ascension is a code of compassion which goes: be kind to yourself and others. Come from love every moment you can. Speak of love with others. Remind each other of your spiritual purpose. Never give up hope. Know that you are loved. If you practice these few things, you will be open to receive every lesson on the path in the spirit in which it is given, as an expression of divine love. The horrors of the world are undeniable, and few people even dream that they will go away. But they will, because love is the supreme reality, compared to which all else is temporary, fleeting, and unreal. The love you seek is seeking you at this moment. Your longing, your deep fantasies about being loved are mere shadows of the melting sweetness that makes spirit want to love you. Be honest about your seeking and be alert to the moments when love is showing itself to you. You are the only means that love has for conquering its opposition. Therefore, you are infinitely precious in the eyes of spirit. The messages of love may not be clear to anyone else around you, even those most intimate to you. That doesn't matter. They are meant for you and you alone. Be assured of that. And above all, keep looking for clues.
Look for other titles by Deepak Chopra available on audio from Random House. Among them are Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, Creating Health, and The Way of the Wizard, all read by the author, and The Return of Merlin, read by Simon Jones, with a special introduction by the author. This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation.